Rathiata to get everyone in the mood for Rathiata, which will be in 3 days. Today is also the appearance of Sri Gadadhar Pandit and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I can spend a few minutes. Otherwise, then I would read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita about the Lord's dancing at Rathiatra. Puri, Lord Chaitanya, which contains the some of the esoteric meaning behind the Rathiatra festival, which is very pertinent to us being Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And it was Gadadhar Pandit. He was after he moved from Navadvip, he was a resident of Jagannath Puri. Yes, he took Ketra Sanyas, lived in Puri. And he was a constant associate of Lord Chaitanya, you know, from his childhood. Of course, one time he left. Gadadhar Pandit used to read Srimad Bhagavatam to all the Vaishnavas. And Lord Chaitanya used to relish the stories, the narrations from Srimad Bhagavatam given by Gadadhar Pandit. He was in so much ecstasy by reading Bhagavatam, Gadadhar, the tears would fall from his eyes. And in the end, his Bhagavatam became illegible. He couldn't read, all the ink was washed. Like I said, he was a constant associate. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left for preaching and traveling, then Gadadhar also followed him. And Mahaprabhu forbade him to follow. You should stay, go back in Puri. You have taken that vow of Ketra Sanyas. But he said, to hell with this vow. I want to be with you. So Mahaprabhu, No. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a very strict in following the religious principles, vows. He says, no, you made the vow, you followed. He said, but wherever you are, he said, that place is Vrindavan, or the Dham. So wherever you are is a Dham, so I haven't left the Dham, I can go with you. He tried his logic like that, but Lord Chaitanya firmly told him to stay. Then Mahaprabhu got on the boat and Gadadhar fell unconscious. In his when he would, Mahaprabhu asked him to worship the deity of Dr. Gopinath, which he did. And in his old age, he couldn't stand properly. And they couldn't do his service very nicely. So then the deity agreed to sit down. So if you go there now, you'll see that the deity is in a sitting posture. If you go to Mangalarti and give 100 rupees, they will show you his feet. That temple is very famous temple for us to visit. Also, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a resident of Puri for some time, and his illustrious son Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was born in Puri. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a magistrate there, and being the magistrate, he was also in charge of affairs of the temple. He was concerned about, because if you read the history of Lord Jagannath, there's a nice book by Dhruva Maharaj, Jaya Jagannath is called. There's a history of Lord Jagannath, the temple in Puri, because that deity he came from has been there since Satyayuga. very ancient temple. And through the ages and the wars and the diplomacy and change of kings and all, what a history that Lord Jagannath has. And he was worshipped by various sects as they came into vogue, like the Jains also worshipped him at one time, and I believe the Buddhists also worshipped him as Lord Buddha because of his extraordinary form. It's not difficult to worship him as anyone. But you know, sometimes the deities were stolen by invaders. So many, many wonderful, wonderful history of Lord Jagannath. And then the history how he came to Navadvip, and how he resides here in another form. The king of Puri wasn't a very honest person at the time. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was there, and he had to, as the magistrate, investigate, and he found him guilty of misappropriating a lot of money. So then Bhaktivinoda ordered him as a punishment, a fine. He had to offer chapan bhog, I think for 1 year or something, which soon depleted his treasury, because Jagannath's a big eater, as we know. And he was upset with Bhaktivinoda, because Bhaktivinoda would one time he chastised the king. They have a mukti mandap in Jagannath Puri, where all the learned people sit, and any philosophical problems or something like that, they sit and they discuss, but mostly Mayavadis. So the whole system of worship in Puri was established by Shankaracharya. Bhaktivinoda tried to change some things, but he was told by Lord Jagannath rather abruptly to mind his own business. he likes things the way they are. So one time the king, Bhaktivinoda had a bhakti mandap, another inside the complex of Jagannath temple. There's another temple, maybe Lakshmi temple or somewhere, but Bhaktivinoda used to have a bhakti mandap where all the devotees, Vaishnavas, used to sit and discuss. One time the king came with his entourage, making a lot of noise and a very boisterous, and then Bhaktivinoda checked him and said, you may be in charge of everyone in the country, but when you come here, this is a place where we're glorifying the Lord of everyone, so you should show proper respect here, which the king did. But anyway, after Bhaktivinoda Thakur proved him guilty of misplacing funds, the king wanted to kill him. So with his ministers, he was a very influential person, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so he couldn't do anything, outright go and kill him, because he was working for the British government, so he was very powerful. So what he did, he hired 50 pundits, and they did this homa, yajna, every day for 1 month to kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then on the last day, then they offered the final hootis, then the king's son died. Then he realized he's making a big mistake, falling in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he was very diligent, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in correcting the malpractices. He's a very, very religious person, very moral. So he was actually, his character was actually faultless. So therefore he could be very strong and bold. He had nothing to hide, nothing to fear. He said he was so moral that there was a very famous playwright in Bengal. Is it Jagdish. And he wrote a play about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they're going to enact this play in Calcutta, I believe. But they have one very famous actress who was playing the part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was invited to be the chief guest. But this actress also, she was, had an infamous character. Like a, you know, modern movie star, anything, not so. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur refused to go because she was playing the part of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they invited Swami Ramakrishna. Play was successful, but this is the purity of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that he wouldn't then give an audience to watching a play about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed by a mundane. So he was very popular. Everywhere he went, he was very popular. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the British Raj, were fighting over him, trying to get him to their own districts. Because he would go to a place and he would resolve problems. It's like when he was in the court, he would handle a case. He would do 40-50 cases in a day. But other lawyer, what other magistrates took 30, half an hour to do, he was doing 5 minutes. And that was it. Once he made a decision, that was it. There was no humbug, no hodgepodge. It was, he heard the case, he made a decision, but very fast. And the local people also loved him. When he would leave one district, then even the local people, townspeople, would come and see him off. They were very sorry to see him going. Such is a wonderful person. He practically single-handed, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, revived this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission. Because at that time, 100 or so years ago, it became very degraded with all the asampradayas who became prominent, and hardly anyone was preaching actually the pure message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although they're devotees of Mahaprabhu, these different asampradayas, and they were introducing so many other things. And Vaishnavism, Gaudiya Vaishnavism, had a terrible name at that time. They were known as debauchees, just professional beggars. And he had a really hard time to actually re-establish the authenticity and the purity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. So we have him to thank that we're all here nowadays. And then continue by his, he had lots of children, lots of work, but he never wasted a moment. You read his daily schedule, he's like, you know, like Srila Prabhupada, actually. Some example, slept a few hours at night, you know, took rest 7:30, 8 o'clock, up at 10 o'clock, doing his translating work and writing his books, about 100 books he wrote. doing his bhajan, translating from Sanskrit. Going to doing his, taking his breakfast, very small milk and chapati or something. Going to the office. Coming back home for lunch, going back again. Coming home again in the evening, taking some light food and bhajan and translation and taking rest. Very full packed day, never wasted any time. As one of the qualifications of a pure devotee, they don't like to see any time wasted. Because wasted time means Maya, eh? There's two things here, there's Krishna and there's Maya. the internal energy and the external energy. That's what we are confronting. So it is, we have to confront something. We have to interface with something. So if it's not Krishna, then it must be Maya, you see? So that's why the devotees, pure devotees, are always continuously engaged in the service of the devil, without wasting any time. Idle mind is the devil's worship. So we pray at the lotus feet of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that by his desire he has brought everyone united, taken Mahaprabhu's message of Pityatyachi Yada Natharadi Gram, Savachapat Khaibimurananda, that my holy name will be spread in every town and village of the world. So that was Bhaktivinoda's desire to do that. So we pray for his blessings on this auspicious day of his divine entrance into the spiritual world, or wherever he may have gone. So, I would read about this chapter of the Lord's dancing in Rathyatra. It's from the Madhya Lila, chapter 13. Actually, there's a summary here by Bhaktivinoda Thakur of this chapter. So I'll just read this summary. This is a summary in his Amrita Prakrita Bhashya as follows. After bathing early in the morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the deities of Jagannath Baladev Sibaja get aboard their three carts. This function is called Pandu Vijay. At that time, King Pratapada Rudra took a broom with a golden handle and began to clean the road. Lord Jagannath took permission from the Goddess of Fortune and then started the car for the Gundicha temple. The road to the temple led along a broad sandy beach, and on both sides of the road were residential quarters, houses and gardens. Along that road, the servants called Godas began to pull the carts. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu divided his Sankirtan party into seven divisions, with two mridangas in each division. There were altogether 14 mridangas. While performing Sankirtan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited various symptoms of transcendental ecstasy. And Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exchanged their feelings very blissfully. When the cars reached a place known as Balagandhi, the devotees offered the deities simple food. At that time, in a nearby garden, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees took a brief rest from the dancing. So, all glories to the listeners of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Please hear the description of the dancing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At the Rathyatra festival, his dancing is very enchanting. Please hear it with great attention. So early that morning, the Mahaprabhu and his associates got up, took their bath, and went to see the Pandu Vijay ceremony. When Lord Jagannath leaves the temple and goes onto the cart. The very strongly built datas, carriers of Lord Jagannath, were powerful as drunken elephants. They manually carried Lord Jagannath from the throne to the car. While carrying the deity, some of the deities took hold of the shoulders and some caught hold of his lotus feet. He was bound at the waist by a strong, thick rope made of silk. From two sides, the deities caught hold of the rope and raised the deity. Strong, puffed-up cotton pads, called tulis, were spread out from the throne to the car, and the heavy deity of Lord Jagannath was carried from one pillow-like pad to the next. by the deities. While they carried the heavy Jagannath deity from one pad to the next, some of the pads broke and the cotton contents floated in the air. When they broke, they made a heavy cracking sound. Lord Jagannath is the maintainer of the whole universe. Who can carry him from one place to another? The Lord moves by his personal will just to perform his pastimes. When the Lord was transported from the throne to the car, tumultuous sounds were made on various musical instruments. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting, Mani Ma, Mani Ma, but he could not be heard. That's it. Means Mani Ma means is used to address a respectable person in a resort. There's a very interesting festival. If you go to Puri, you can see this. It's very nice, very exciting time. Because Lord Jagannath has been away for a couple of weeks, right? And now is the first time he's come out. So everyone is there. In how many people have been to this Rath Yatra in Puri? Only half a dozen, is it? Sure, fantastic. Don't tell the authorities here. We weren't allowed to go for years in Mayapur. And you have to go to Kolkata. We have our own Rath Yatra. But if you get an opportunity to go, it's a very, very ecstatic festival. Because like the devotees have been waiting long, long time. And then he's finally coming out. And then from a great distance you can see him because he's very big, Lord Jagannath. And he has a huge crown made of different leaves and flowers and this wood, very light balsa wood. And he has a huge, like a peacock tail feather crown, but it's in white and green. And as they bring him, they're holding, the deities are holding him, and then they kind of rock him, and then they pull him to the next pillow. Then back again. And it seems really disorganized. And Jagannath seems to go wherever he wants through the crowds. And but this is what you see. Everyone's going, Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath. So you see this, you see him coming out on top of the crowd. You see this headdress and Jagannath's eyes coming like that. It's really exciting. And it says they're strongly built, like were as powerful as drunken elephants. some of those deities are very big. Especially, and when he comes up to the cart, then there's a very steep ramp made of wood. So then they have to get him up. And so he kind of goes, it's trying to put him up straight, but something, generally he goes up feet first. And people seem to, because they have these ropes on him, and people seem to be really disorganized. Some are pulling this side, some are pulling the other way, and some are pulling they have a rope attached to his crown. So when he's up, they pull the rope back like this. So it's like a peacock feather, and they go, and come back. This effect, but everyone's pulling from all over the place, and he's moving like this. But I saw some of them were really, they were like wrestlers, you know, and they got their shoulder on and a chewing pan, and they got their shoulder on it, pushing up this, sweating, dude. Then he goes up the ramp, and then he stops, and he comes back again, and everyone panics, and he's pushing up. It's very exciting. Then he gets on the cart, and then Balaram will start first. So Balaram starts, and then Lord Jagannath comes. One year we were there, Lord Balaram started, and they pull the cart, and it comes past the cart, because there's no steering on that cart. I think there's 16 wheels, but there's no steering. The wheels are this big. So first time he's coming, everyone's enthusiastic, and they pull him out, and he run into a shop front. You know, they had these blinds coming from the shop. So he hit that and was stuck there. So then he jumped up and smashed all the shop fronts down. Then they so they had to pull him. He was going the wrong direction, but there's no wheels, so thousands of people pulling the car. He's facing this way, they're pulling like that, and about four wheels broke. Wheels are made of wood. So then he was stuck, and then the whole night they were fixing. Then Jagannath moves a little bit, because people won't eat until Jagannath has moved. So he wasn't going to move that day, so then they moved Jagannath a few feet. That was nice, so then the deities were out the whole night, so we could go up and take darshan, and they would let you embrace the deity also. That was a very, very exciting festival. then the Rath Yatra begins. Lord Chaitanya, we know the story. King Pratap Rudra was very anxious to take the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and but Mahaprabhu said he doesn't speak to Vishayis. King means worldly people. Although he was actually a great devotee, Mahaprabhu as a sannyasi was very strict, so he said he refused to associate with these kings. When the king was sweeping the road, as tradition, like when we have a Rath Yatra somewhere, right, we have the generally have the golden broom and sweep the road. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that, he was very satisfied with King Pratap Rudra. He was taking the menial service as a sweeper for Lord Jagannath. Then that time he actually bestowed his mercy on him, as will be explained. Anyway, everyone was astonished to see the decorations on the Rath car. It appeared to be newly made of gold and was high as Mount Sumeru. The decorations included bright mirrors, hundreds and hundreds of chamaras. On top of the car was a neat and clean canopy and a very beautiful flag. The car was also decorated with silken cloth and various pictures. Many brass bells, gongs, and ankle bells rang. For the past time of Rath Yatra ceremony, Lord Jagannath got aboard one car, and his sister Subhadra and elder brother Balaram got aboard two other cars. Fine white sand spread all over the path, resembling the bank of the Jamuna, and the small gardens on both sides looked just like those of Vrindavan. As Lord Jagannath rode in his car, he saw the beauty on both sides. His mind was filled with pleasure. So sometimes the car would go fast, sometimes it would go slow, sometimes it would stop, and it couldn't be moved. Sometimes they just wouldn't move, even though hundreds and hundreds, thousands of people pushing, but still wouldn't move. It's still like that today. You see the actual cart moves at its own, Jagannath moves as he likes. You can actually see that when you're there, you can actually experience that. Thousands and thousands and hundreds of people are pulling and pushing, and the cart just doesn't move. Then suddenly it just goes. No specific reason. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gathered all the devotees, and personally he put sandalwood paste on their bodies and flower garlands. Then he divided all the devotees up into different Sankirtan parties. There was Sri Damodara was a leader, Advaita Acharya, Haridas, and Srivas, and with all they invited everyone up into some were singers and some were dancers. So Altogether there were 7 parties of Sankirtana. Each party, 2 men were beating drums. Thus 14 drums were being played at once. The sound was tumultuous and all the devotees became mad. All the Vaishnavas came together like an assembly of clouds. As the devotees chanted the holy names in great ecstasy, tears fell from their eyes like rain. Lord Chaitanya then exhibited another mystic power by performing pastimes simultaneously in all 7 groups. Everyone said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is present in my group. Indeed, he does not go anywhere else. He is bestowing his mercy upon us. Actually, no one could see the inconceivable potency of the Lord, only the most confidential devotees. Those in pure unalloyed devotional service could understand. Lord Jagannath was very much pleased by the Sankirtana. He brought the car to a standstill just to see the performance. King Prataparudra was astonished to see the Sankirtana. He became inactive and was converted to ecstatic love of Krishna. So the king could actually see the Lord had divided himself into 7. He was in all of the Sankirtan party as well as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But no one else could see what was going on. But they were watching from this and they could actually see that. But only by the, says only by the mercy of the Lord is he revealed to his, so though he was performing this miracle, only a few people could see. So by the Lord's mercy you can know the Lord, you can see the Lord, and not otherwise. No way, because even there were many other pure devotees there, but they couldn't all see. But to bestow his mercy on the king, then he showed that. Then he began a very, very ecstatic dance. And he was praying to Lord Jagannath, different prayers like Namo Vadamanya Devaya Govardamanya Jaya Cha Jagaritaya Krishna Govindaya Namo Nama. Let me offer my respectful obeisance unto Lord Jagannath, who is a worshipful deity for all brahmanical men, who is a well-wisher of the cows and brahmanas, who is always benefiting the whole world. I offer my repeated obeisances to the personality of Godhead, known as Krishna and Govinda. This is one of our standard prayers we pray to Lord Jagannath. We chanted others from the Vishnu Purana. He is known as the son of Devaki. Another one from Mukundamala, who is known as Janani Vas, the ultimate resort of all living entities. He quoted another one from the Padivali, Rupa Goswami, which with the pujaris chant in the morning, Nahambhiko na Jati na Nati Vaishana Sudo. Which is, I'm not a Brahmana, I'm not a Kachi, I'm not a Vaishya or a Sudra, nor am I a Brahmacharya, household, or a Vanaprasa, or a Sannyasi. I identify myself only as a servant of the servant of the servant of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. He's like an ocean of nectar and is a cause of universal and transcendental bliss. He's always existing with brilliance. Having recited all these verses from scripture, the Lord again offered his obeisances, and all the devotees, and with folded hands, also offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. While Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and jumped high, roaring like thunder, and moving in a circle like a wheel, he appeared like a circling firebrand. Wherever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stepped while dancing, the whole earth with its hills and seas appeared to tilt. When Mahaprabhu danced, he displayed various blissful transcendental changes in his body. Sometimes he appeared as though stunned, sometimes the hairs on his body stood on end, sometimes he perspired, cried, trembled, and changed color. And sometimes he exhibited symptoms of helplessness, pride, exuberance, and humility. And sometimes he fell down with a crash while dancing. And sometimes it appeared as a golden mountain rolling on the ground. So everyone can see these ecstatic symptoms that Mahaprabhu was exhibiting. One of Mahaprabhu's main features was his beauty, which was very attractive. People would see that immediately, and they immediately see him, they would feel ecstatic love of God. That was a very special feature of this incarnation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shivas Pandit was also, he was there, but he was watching Mahaprabhu dancing, and he was standing in front of the king. So then the king's servant, Harichandan, he told Shivas to move, but he was so absorbed he didn't care, and he was pushing, when he, hey, get, who's that? So then he turned around and slapped his face, and he got very angry at the king. Then the king said, you are very fortunate, you've been slapped by Shivas Thakur, I didn't get that. Anyway, Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra were smiling and enjoying this wonderful Kirtan festival. So everyone was dancing, it was very dancing and chanting that man, very hot there. Then we were there, very hot. Last time we were there with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and Indrajuna Maharaj. We had some very wonderful kirtans, but it was very hot that day, it was so hot. When we were waiting for the Panda Vijay, we had some past week ago inside the cauldron, we were sitting on the road in front of the carts. It was very hot, and it was just a tarmac road, and it was baking hot, and they weren't allowed to put umbrella up, because you don't put an umbrella in front of Lord Jagannath, and we was almost melting there, because we were sitting there for a couple of hours. And then the devotees gradually disappeared, and some of the devotees, I could see, were sitting in the on the roof or under some cover on the roofs of the shops, etc. You can go and sit there. You can pay some money, you can go and sit and watch from there. So I saw devotees and other sannyasis up there sipping nice cold drinks. And we were sitting there, and I said, Maharaj, Maharaj, look. Shall we go up there? He said, do you want to? I said, yeah. He said, I like it here. I like it here. So I had to stay, but it was so hot. And when we were dancing, there were so many people that you couldn't breathe, all the body heat. Because sometimes they go around with people go around with syringes and make a spray, otherwise you'd die. You know, a lot of people have these water syringes. And all the time there's stretchers going with people. You just pass, a stretcher comes past and you pass it over your head. And sometimes a bull appears. They have small bulls there, and right in the middle of all this grass. It's pretty chaotic. But it was so hot, and I was almost dying. I'm sure I thought I was going to die. So anyway, it's a good place to die. I could hardly breathe. The only place you could breathe was where the devotees were dancing. There was a bit of space. So then I had to dance in that heat. But it was the only place where there was some air. My goodness. But some little capacitors there. So then he begins to explain some esoteric things that happen during that, because Mahaprabhu, as we know, he's come in the mood of Srimati Radharani to experience his own Krishna's sweetness and the love his devotees have for him. What is that special feeling they have? So Mahaprabhu began to experience this at this particular time. So sometimes one Mahaprabhu will go ahead, and sometimes Jagannath will go ahead. Sometimes Jagannath will wait for Mahaprabhu. This way there seemed to be a competition. So it's pertinent for us, Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So there was a sort of competition between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath in seeing who would lead. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strong that he made Lord Jagannath wait in his car. There's a purport here. It is Anubhasha Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati describes the ecstasy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as follows. After giving up the company of the gopis in Vrindavan, Sri Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, engaged in his pastimes at Dwarka. When Krishna went to Kurukshetra with his brother and sisters and others from Dwarka, he again met with the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Bhava Yuti Sivalita, that is, Krishna himself assuming the part of Srimati Radharani in order to understand Krishna. Lord Jagannath Dev is Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Srimati Radharani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's leading Lord Jagannath towards a Gaudiya temple corresponded to Srimati Radharani's leading Krishna towards Vrindavan. Sri Ketra, Jagannath Puri, was taken as the kingdom of Dwarka, the place where Krishna enjoys supreme opulence. But he was being led by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan, the simple village where all the inhabitants are filled with ecstatic love for Krishna. Sri Ketra is a place of Aishwarya Leela, just as Vrindavan is a place of Madhurya Leela. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's following the rear of the rath indicated that Lord Jagannath Krishna was forgetting the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Although Krishna neglected the inhabitants of Vrindavan, he could not forget them. Thus, in his opulent Rathyatra, he was returning to Vrindavan in the role of Srimati Radharani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was examining whether the Lord still remembered the inhabitants of Vrindavan. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell behind the cart, Jagannath Dev, Krishna himself, understood the mind of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, Jagannath sometimes fell behind the dancing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to indicate to Srimati Radharani that he had not forgotten. Thus, Lord Jagannath would stop the forward march of the rath and wait at a standstill. In this way, Lord Jagannath appeared that without the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, he could not feel satisfied. While Jagannath was thus waiting, Gaurasundara, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, immediately came forward to Krishna. At such times, Lord Jagannath would proceed ahead very slowly. These competitive exchanges were all part of the love affair between Krishna and Srimati Radharani. In that competition between Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy for Jagannath and Jagannath's ecstasy for Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emerged successful. So while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, his ecstasy changed. Raising his two arms, he began to recite the following verse in a loud voice. Translation: that very personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights of the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover, yet still my mind is not happy here. I'm eager to go back to that place on the bank of the river under the Vedansi tree. That is my desire. This verse was recited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again and again, but for Sri Damodar, no one could understand its meaning. So he's given an Krishna Das Kaviraj has given an explanation that formerly all the gopis in Vrindavan were very pleased when they met with Krishna in Kurukshetra. They went there for the eclipse. The Yadavs went there for the eclipse, and the Brijbasis went there for the eclipse, or the excuse to see Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus spoke to Lord Jagannath, "You are the same Krishna. I am the same Radharani. We are meeting again in the same way that we met in the beginning of our lives. Although we are both the same, my mind is still attracted to Vrindavan Dham. I wish that you please appear with your lotus feet in Vrindavan. In Kurukshetra there are crowds of people, elephants and horses, and also the rattling of chariots. But in Vrindavan there are flower gardens and the humming of bees, the chirping of birds. Here at Kurukshetra you're just like a royal prince accompanied by great warriors, but in Vrindavan you just appear like an ordinary cowherd boy accompanied only by your beautiful flute. Here there's not even a drop of the ocean of transcendental happiness that I enjoyed with you in Vrindavan. I therefore request you to come to Vrindavan and enjoy pastimes with me. If you do so, my ambition will be fulfilled." That is a statement from me. Srimad Bhagavatam, etc. In other words, because it says that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't take a step out of Vrindavan. So who is this? Who is this Krishna they're going to see? Because we know that Krishna goes to maturity, he goes to Dwarka. So they meet him this answers that question. How if Krishna doesn't leave Vrindavan, then who left Vrindavan? He's there. So this answers that question. That Radharani is saying that here in Dwarka, you're the same person, I'm the same person. But the atmosphere is not right here, it's not Vrindavan. Here you're like a king and, you know, it's very opulent. That sweetness of Vrindavan is gone and you don't, here you have your, you know, your kingly responsibilities, etc. And the atmosphere, the ambience of Vrindavan is different, so he can't reciprocate as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who engages in loving pastimes with his devotees, his most intimate devotees. So therefore he engages in those relationships of Shakya, Madhurya and Vatsala. But because of the intimate exchanges of and love of his devotees. But when he goes out of Vrindavan, he can't do that. Because the devotees outside of Vrindavan have a different kind of intimate, not so intimate, they have a different kind of relationship with him. The example is when the chief minister, the prime minister goes out, and when he's in office, it's all awe and reverence and, you know, respect. And yes sir, no sir. But when he goes home, then he's not the chief minister anymore. He becomes daddy, he becomes husband, he becomes brother. Like this. Because it's a much more intimate relationship at home. So that's why Krishna can't exhibit his supreme personality as Nandanandan. He can't exhibit that outside. Because the ambience is not there, you see. So then he has to reciprocate accordingly. So this is why, although, you know, Radha and Krishna are meeting again, it's the same time of the year, some things are the same, but it's not Vrindavan. So they can't have the same kind of rasa there. So she wants to ask him to come back. So this is the esoteric reason for the Rathiyatra festival. This is a mood that they're trying to pull Krishna back to take back, unite Krishna with Vrindavan again. So Mahaprabhu was acting these verses. Nobody could understand. then he goes into how the Krishna, when he went back, he was consoling the gopis and telling them that they should meditate on him, and they said, why are you talking to us like common yogis trying to meditate? We're trying to forget you. We're trying to take our minds away from you. We can meditate on ordinary things because, you know, you're driving us crazy. We can't do that. We can't even withdraw our minds from you. You're asking us to sit down and try and meditate on you. Don't speak like this. Nonsense. We're accustomed to loving you from the beginning of our lives. We don't have to try to meditate. You know? Don't try and bluff us with this talk. That's right around. He's speaking, my dear Lord, kindly hear my true submission. My home is Vrindavan. I wish your association there, but I do not get it. Then it would be very difficult for me to keep my life. Breaking because of you, I wonder whether you want to kill them all, or do you want to enliven them by coming here? Why are you simply keeping them alive in a state of suffering? The inhabitants of Vrindavan do not want you just like a prince, nor do they want you to associate with great warriors in a different country. They cannot leave the land of Vrindavan, and without your presence, they are all dying. What is their condition to be? My dear Krishna, you're the life and soul of Vrindavan Dham. You're especially the life of Nanda Maharaj. You're the only opulence in the land of Vrindavan. You are very merciful. Please come and let all the residents of Vrindavan live. Kindly keep your lotus feet again in Vrindavan. Jagannath began to respond. My dearest Radharani, Srimati Radharani, please hear me, I'm speaking to... I cry day and night, simply upon remembrance of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. No one knows how unhappy this makes me. In the Priya Bhagavatamritu, there's a very elaborate description of Krishna feeling that separation from the inhabitants of Vrindavan. How sometimes he used to, in his... They say sometimes the, you know, in Vrindavan, in Dwarka, then in his sleep he used to call out the names of his friend, hey Shubha, Shudam, and call out his cow, Shubalai, Damalai, Magadangamukhi, Ganga, hi, come. Or Maliya Soda, please feed me, I'm hungry. Or he talk about his gopis and intimate. And he would wake up, and then he began weeping and weeping because he realized he wasn't in Vrindavan. So this was experienced by the residents of Dwarka. And sometimes he was Sometimes he became unconscious. Sometimes he refused to unlock the door. They could hear him weeping inside his room and he wouldn't come out into his morning duties. they were discussed. Then one time Rohini came to Dwarka. So then all the queens gathered around Rohini and told him that this is... What was Krishna like before he was married? Because we hear him calling the names of his friends and his mothers and everyone in Vrindavan. And he cries. How much love he has for those people. What is the... can you give us some... Tell us about his dealings with those in Vrindavan? So Rohini said, I can, she said, but we'll have to do it in a secluded place because if Krishna hears, he may become so overwhelmed that he may even start just run and just go to Vrindavan out of love. So he'll run away. So then they agreed that because Rohini was in Vrindavan, also Subhadra had been to Vrindavan, so they said, Subhadra, you know the pastimes, you can keep guard. So then went in a secluded room and Subhadra Devi was keeping guard. But as he was discussing these pastimes, Vrindavan pastimes, and Subhadra had an ear to the keyhole and hearing these things. And hearing those pastimes, she became ecstatic. So ecstatic symptoms started to appear in her body and her eyes became very wide. And her limbs drew inside her body. These are very advanced ecstatic symptoms. So then she became stunned. But then Krishna and Balaram passed. And his omnipotent, so they passed and he said, hey, look at Subhadra Devi. So you could understand by her physical symptoms that something very nice is happening in there. So they also came over and began to listen. Then they also became stunned. And became those ecstatic symptoms, the same ecstatic symptoms appeared on them. The eyes became wide and their limbs shrunk in their body, become motionless. And then at that time also Narada Muni came and he saw them and he became ecstatic. But he didn't get stunned. And he began to glorify the Lord. And they came back to the external consciousness. And Narada said, Lord, I've seen many, many of your incarnations, because Narada Muni goes everywhere, anytime, all the time. I've seen many of your incarnations, but I've never seen such a feature of this, exhibiting this Mahabharata. So please be merciful and you show this form, let everyone see this form. Such an ecstatic form. So that's why the deities are like that, shrunken. No, the legs are shrunken, the arms are shrunken, and the eyes are big. So that was the one reason that Jagannath appears like that. It's a very esoteric form of Krishna. It's Krishna in the mood of separation. This is a very exalted topic and a very exalted part of our highest part of our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, that love in separation is actually more intense than love in union. Because love in separation is a very strong anticipation of actually meeting. and so when there is a meeting, then that meeting becomes more exalted, more glorious. So then there's separation again. And then there's meeting again, and then there's separation again. So both are necessary to enhance each other. that's the whole spiritual world. It goes like that. Spiritual world is like in Vrindavan. It's like that. It's union, separation. Krishna in the morning, yes, he goes out with his friends, and nighttime he's with the gopis, and again, morning, as the sun comes up, he has to leave. And then he goes with his parents, then he has to leave his parents to go out in the forest. Parents are unhappy, his friends are happy. They come back, the friends are unhappy, his parents are happy. And the gopis are unhappy. Nighttime they come, the gopis are happy. Like this, he goes from one group to another, experiencing these different rasas. But that separation enhances the longing and the yearning, so it's much more exalted again when there's union. That is spiritual world. That is the spiritual life. Radha Krishna, exchange and separation, love and separation. That's all that goes on there. And how they overcome those, how they manage that situation. That's a spiritual life. Perfection of the spiritual life. Expansion of Radha and Krishna's love affair. So then when Krishna was suddenly explaining how that his love for them is unparalleled, that he only thinks of them and he'll be coming back to Vrindavan very soon, just as he's killed a few more demons. He said, if I come back to Vrindavan, he said, if I visit you regularly, these are some of the excuses Krishna gives why he left, or why he didn't come back for 100 years. if I come back regularly with you, then I still have some enemies out here. They can't get me, but they can harass you. If they know that you're my beloved, they may want to do you harm, because they can't do anything to me. So they may come and harass. Therefore, I don't come back because to stop this. So that to keep you safe, I'm not coming back. But apparently he does come back in his Apricot Leela. The Acharyas are saying that Krishna does go back. But that long time of separation, the inhabitants of Vrindavan became almost mad with intense absorption in Krishna. They attained complete samadhi. And their remembrance of Krishna was so strong. And so sometimes Krishna actually used to go back. And they would have, they may have some pastimes, they may have some ras. And in the morning, they would say, was that a dream or was it real? And sometimes they would dream of Krishna. And in the morning, they would say, was that real or was that a dream? So in other words, they couldn't distinguish a dream from reality. They couldn't know if Krishna was actually there or not there. But on that platform, it actually makes no difference. So there's constantly, there was actually union with Krishna. So that's the esoteric position of the residents of Vrindavan. And this is what Krishna wanted to show to the world. So he said, this is the reason. He said, they're only staying alive because of me, but they don't know if it's real or not. So for them, it doesn't matter. He was glorifying the exalted consciousness of them. He said, anyway, if I go back, actually physically go back, and they say, oh, Krishna's back, and there'd be ecstasy, you know, it'd be so. He said, but after that, you know, initial festival of joy, then I'll have to leave again. And then they'll surely die. You know, after I come back after summer, I'd be so happy. If I have to leave again, that will definitely... So I can't go back. Because if I leave again, then I'll definitely die. So Krishna's giving you all these reasons. At the same time, he's glorifying the exalted consciousness of the residents of Vrindavan, which is never revealed before. Not in Satyajrata or Dwapara Yuga, practically. It wasn't revealed before. Only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has revealed this. Topmost position of the spiritual world, the essence of all spirituality, where everything is actually coming from, is coming from this love affair of Radha Krishna. Everything else is coming from that. All the spiritual worlds and all the material worlds are just expansions from that. But this is actually the most esoteric, the essence of the whole of creation, of being. So this is what Mahaprabhu had come to give to the world, to show to the world, that you can also have a relationship as a friend, as a parent, or as a lover. You can also do that, which generally wasn't available in the, you won't find that in the Vedas generally. This he exhibited, especially he showed this actually at the Radhyacha festival. That's why it's a very important, the Radhyacha festival for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So on this Time's over, but if you want to read this, it's in Matthew 13. The Lord's dancing at Rathiacha. If you want to read it, the whole story. Jagannath Swami ki, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Virada Pandit ki, Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki, Smriti Radharani ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Gopremanandi. Hare Krishna. Happy Rathiacha. Tomorrow is Gondichir. We may hear the wonderful pastimes of Gondichir. Then there'll be a third day of other Rathiacha. Will you be here? All your students? Go there, okay.